This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, What the Puckers. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck Podcast. Follow along on Twitter. The show has its own Twitter account now. You can follow along with the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. And of course, you can follow me at BrandoCash. Joining me as always via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You can also follow Coach Dan on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. A lot of games happening since the last time we talked. We're a day late than what we normally record because they had the Wednesday night rivalry game. We're going to talk a little bit about all four of these games that we've missed so far. But, Dan, I want to talk to you about this first and foremost. Is four games, and we've seen two different Capital teams, okay? We've seen in two of the games, we've seen the Capitals that look like, all right, here comes Stanley Cup playoffs. It's going to be Caps versus Blackhawks, and everybody's screaming and shouting and ready to rock the red. And then we have other nights, two other games, where the Capitals look like the guys that started off this season after a lockout. Like, we don't know where to go, and we're actually, you know, soccer players. We don't know what we're doing with these sticks and why we're on ice. So what's going on now? Why can't this team be consistent?
Well, it isn't just in different games we see different teams. In that first game against New Jersey, we saw two different teams where they were dominating in the second period, and then they took penalty after penalty after penalty. I mean, at one point, they took six penalties in just over 10 minutes. That is ridiculous. And the thing about that game that really bothered me is that a lot of the players were coming out and yelling at the referees and were making comments to the press afterwards about the referees. And that really bugged me because the referees were not the ones that were making you put the puck over the glass. They weren't the ones making you take lazy penalties like hooking or tripping because you're not moving your feet. Okay, this is on the players. I understand you're tired because you just played Carolina and you had to go up and play the Flyers. If you're going to be tired, do it. You know, if that's the problem, go ahead. But even then, that's going to be a big problem because in March, they play 16 games in 30 days with eight of those being back-to-backs. So being tired is not going to be an excuse anymore. They're going to have to pick it up. They have to play better. We've seen that they can do it. They dominated Carolina. They I wouldn't say dominated, but they played very well against New Jersey in that 5-1 win. They've played well, and they just at times it seems like they almost like they check out and they don't. They're not paying enough attention. If they can follow the system, we have seen that it works. They have to continue to follow the system and play the way that the coach wants them to play.
All right, so this is something that I'm trying to wrap my brain around, okay? The first game that we're going to talk about here was the first game against the Devils, and the Devils pretty much dominated, and like you said, there were plenty of penalties. And then I see this other team come in, and it's again against the Devils, and they realized, all right, we had a lot of penalties, we're going to clean it up, and they really did do a good job on that Saturday game. They really played some great hockey, and they came out with a win. Ovechkin had one of the best games he's had in a very long time, and he got a hat trick, first time, I believe, in like 2 years, the guy's gotten a hat trick. This is the old Ovechkin of old that we all keep talking about, and he's been missing for about 4 years now, but we keep talking about the old school Ovechkin, and that's what that looked like. And even he said, I forgot what it was like to rock the red. I know what it's like now. And then they come and they play Carolina, and it's the return of Sasha Semin, and Troy Brower has some things to say about Semin before the game. But I usually don't like it when players do that, because I'm like, what if they don't show up tonight? Now he looks like the moron. But again, they showed up. So again, we have two games back to back where these guys look like they know what they're doing. And then we have a game against the Flyers where the defense didn't show up. Ovechkin, you know, and the whole offensive line weren't passing. They weren't working together. And it was so mixed up. I'm so frustrated with this team right now as a fan, because I want to get excited for this team. I want to get excited for this season. But if they're going to be have these on-off nights all the time, it's hard to get behind that team and cheer for that team because you don't know who's going to show up. The biggest thing when Semin left was you never knew what kind of guy he was going to be on the ice. I feel like that's the whole team right now. You don't know when they're going to show up.
I agree with you completely. I think to some extent it's worthy to note that this is not necessarily Adam Oates' team. Okay, yes, this is his team because these are his players, but he didn't have an entire offseason. He didn't have, because of everything going on with the lockout, teams are afraid to make any sort of big moves. He hasn't had an entire preseason to sort of set up the team the way he wants. He has Hunter and Boudreaux's players. He hasn't had an opportunity to bring these guys in. Now, I'm not going to necessarily give them an excuse for their poor performance so far, but we have seen the problem, a problem with this team, that they, to some extent, are a very fragile team, where if they get down early or they don't play well early, that they're unable to come back from being behind like they have in the past. So, perhaps a couple of moves need to be made. I think this upcoming offseason, if the season does not go well, is going to be very interesting to see what George McPhee and Adam Oates come up with in terms of getting players that Oates thinks fits his system better than the guys they have now. But overall, I don't think the roster necessarily is where it needs to be. They don't have a top left wing, a top line left wing. They don't have a second line left wing right now. They should in Volsky, but he's a terrible. His miss the other game where he was literally in front of the net with no one there. Hedberg was the other direction, and he somehow missed an empty net. That was just pathetic. They need help. I think they need a couple of moves they need to make to improve this team, and it's going to take more time potentially than just one season for Coach Oates to get what he needs.
You can definitely see that at times it looks like the Oates system is kind of sinking in a little bit. I believe it was the game over the weekend on Saturday against the Devils where Craig Laughlin actually said Ovechkin did a move that was very Kovalchuk-esque. So it seems like Oates is somewhat rubbing off on these guys. But at the same time, we have nights where they're just kind of doing their own thing. The game against the Flyers was one of Ovechkin's, I'd say, worst performances, at least in this season, right after one of his best. And I think that I'm not going to blame the game on him. I'm not going to say anything like that, but it just the inconsistencies are always there with the entire team, not just Ovechkin. And like you said, I agree with you that this whole Oates system is going to take a while to get there. I think a lot of the pressure right now, maybe not on Oates, but I think a lot of it's got to be on George McPhee.
I agree. He's been here a long time. He's had an opportunity to build this team. He's built the team, gutted the team, rebuilt the team, and now he's trying to sort of tweak it to fit the different coaches that he has. I wonder if McPhee is on a short leash and is going to have to do something drastic to keep his job. But then again, I say that, but Ted Leonsis has looked like he's going to keep these guys around. The only general manager he's ever had for the Capitals is George McPhee, and he's been unwilling to move Ernie Grunfeld, who's the general manager of the Wizards, even though Grunfeld clearly has been screwing up the Wizards over and over. So it's sort of I agree with you. I think that it might be time after this season, or if because of the lockout, maybe you give him an offseason, another little bit of the season to see how things go. Time for them to move on to another general manager. We don't know what Ted Leonsis is going to do. So we'll see what happens. I don't blame Oates. I don't think he should be on the quote-unquote hot seat. I don't think he should be fired because I don't think he's had a real opportunity to build the team that he sees fit. Now, we've also heard from a lot of players that even guys are on the Caps, even guys on the Devils, we've heard that it takes time to understand this system and be able to play it perfectly. But we've seen these guys know how to do it. Now it's all in their head. Can they continually do it, and do they have the energy to continue to play the way they need to do well? So far, we don't know.
We don't know as fans. We don't know as people that are just talking about this on a podcast, because when it works, it works. When it doesn't, it doesn't. It seems like there is no middle ground with this team. It may be home field advantage, home ice advantage, I guess, in this case, because it seems like they do know what they're doing when they're in Verizon Center. Sometimes. It's not all the time. The biggest thing with this shortened season for me, and let me know if you kind of feel the same way, are these back-to-back games. It seems like when they were up against the Florida Panthers, the game really went in their favor first time around. And then they're up against the Devils. It didn't go their way the first time around, but the second time it did. So it seems like these back-to-back games with the same team over and over again over just the span of a few days is really affecting not just the Capitals, but the NHL in general, because it seems like they immediately know what they did wrong, and then they fix it the day they have off, and then the next day they come back, they fix it, and they blow the other team away. So it seems to me that this shortened season, still we're feeling the effects of the lockout, but the NHL as a whole, not just the Capitals, is really going through an adjustment period just to fit in the right amount of games and to go against the certain opponents that they have.
To some extent, you always sort of adjust your game a little bit depending on your opponent and what their roster is. If they have more guys that are going to try and beat you up, you're going to change your roster, maybe tweak it kid a little bit to be able to sort of battle that as opposed to a really speedy team. But with that said, the Capitals have the talent. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen them play well in this system. And I think the biggest thing right now is their ability to continually play that for 60 minutes. I think the best we've seen them play is in the Carolina game because they controlled that game for 55, 60 minutes. There was about a five-minute period in the third period where Carolina started coming back, and you're like, yeah, sit down. You know, the Caps, they had that game. You know, the game against the Flyers was really bad. Okay, you know what? They're exhausted. Whatever. Man up. Okay, you still have to play. Other teams have been playing back-to-backs and doing fine. They have to do this. They're going to have this the rest of the season. So either they're just going to phone it in and play poorly the rest of the way and get a nice draft pick, or they can actually battle and do something.
The draft pick does sound kind of nice when we have guys like Philip Forsberg just kind of waiting in the wings. But I want to see the Capitals in the postseason. I want to see them in the playoffs. So I don't want to focus on that. But let's talk about things that have worked, at least since last time we talked. Let's talk about the Devils game that was over this past weekend. Ovechkin gets a hat trick. The offense looks like they know what they're doing. And it seems like this is a cohesive team. What were some of your favorite parts about that game?
I think you pretty much touched on all of them. My favorite thing was the fact that they were able to control the game, that they were able to play the system and continually play it the entire time. And they did it well. It wasn't like there were sort of spurts like, oh, look, there's 5 minutes, look pretty good. There, that little couple minutes look pretty good. They did well for 60 minutes. I think that has been the thing that I've been sort of harping on throughout this entire season is them playing the entire game well. Okay, if you want to have a shift or two throughout the entire game or a couple where guys, you know, the other team's going to have an opportunity to score. I'm not expecting them to be in the other team's zone the entire time. But we have to see a real effort for 60 minutes. And I think we saw that in the New Jersey game, the second game. And I think we saw it in the Carolina game. But in the first New Jersey game where they blew it in the third period, and in the Flyers game, we saw just a lackadaisical effort, and it was pathetic.
It was. Again, that's the inconsistencies with this team, and it's really disheartening as a fan. Let's just touch on real quick the Carolina game. I want to say that was the team's best effort, like you just said earlier. Holtby looked amazing in net. Ovechkin looked good. The offense looked good. The defense looked good. That really was a Capitals-led team, a Capitals-led game. Troy Brouwer had some choice things to say about Alexander Semin. Nothing new, but before that game, he had a few things saying that you never knew when that guy was going to show up, and that was Alex Semin's first appearance at the Verizon Center in a rival jersey. I found it very interesting. Usually when somebody comes back to the town they've been in for so many years, they get booed once or twice when they hit the puck, but man, DC let him know that they weren't behind him anymore every single time that Semin touched the puck.
Yeah, I gotta give the Caps fans credit. They could, you know, a lot of times with the old players, they get the whoop or the booing every little bit, and then they kind of trail off towards the end of the first and leave the run this way. But Semin, you know, not a fan of him, apparently. The fans were giving it to him the entire time, so I gotta give them a lot of credit. And to go on with what Troy Brouwer said, I mean, I don't like it either. I like this stuff to stay in the locker room because I don't want to give the other team sort of something to put up on their bulletin board to fire them up. I would prefer if Brouwer had anything to say, he said it to his teammates and that's it. But I think where there's smoke, there's fire. Bradley has come out and said this before, and then now Brouwer's saying it. So I like Alexander Semin. I liked him when he was on this team. Yes, he drove me nuts a lot of the time because he sometimes looked like he didn't care because he's a very talented hockey player. But I think these guys have a point. I do think there are times where Semin does not show up. I think he showed up in the game against the Caps, or at least he tried to, because he was sort of fired up to play in D.C. for the first time as an opponent. But, you know, he doesn't play for the Caps anymore. I don't know if he'll ever play for them again. As far as I'm concerned right now, he is the enemy because he plays for somebody else.
He does play for somebody else, and it's in our own division too. So it's a division rival right there. So
yeah, that was kind of a dick move.
Well,
ask me, like, I don't know. I mean, look, I understand for these guys, it's just a job for some of them. But you know, if you played for a team for this long, you really going to go to one of their rivals in the same division? I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, it just seems kind of messed up.
Well, I think he's kind of doing the Yager route and just kind of going where there's money. He really wanted a long-term contract with someone, and nobody really wanted him in the offseason, so he settled on a one-year deal with Carolina, I'm guessing, because they're the ones that were offering the most money. I guess why you know, you have agents, really. Let's touch real quick on this Philadelphia Flyers game. Let's talk about what happened outside the rink during one of the intermissions. NBC Sports analyst, I guess he is a professional by trade.
Yeah, you put some quotes in there.
Yeah, air quotes on an audio podcast, professional. We got Mike Milbury. He had some choice words. Not the first time he's ever said it, but major choice words for Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with him. Yes, Ovechkin looked pretty poor last night, but sort of the entire team. They all look pretty poor. So the fact that he always goes after Ovechkin is nothing new for Milbury. For whatever reason, and people who are not fans of the Capitals or fans of Ovechkin are be like, well, you're being an apologist, you're just defending Ovechkin. Look, this guy has always gone after European players. If you are not from Canada or the U.S., he's going to go after you. And he went so far as to call the Russian national team style of play during the previous Olympics Euro trash. I thought there's inappropriate comments from a guy who's supposed to be sort of selling the sport on the national spotlight. But as long as NBC continues to pay him, we still have to listen to his crap.
You know what? He's not Don Cherry as much as he wants to be.
He wants to be.
He really wants to be, but he is not Don Cherry. But let me ask you this. Let me kind of play devil's advocate right now. You know I love the Capitals, and I love Ovechkin. Dude's got a lot of talent. But besides the way that he said it, is Milbury completely off by saying those things he said about Ovechkin?
In regards to last night's game, no, but the entire team was bad. Why did he have to pick on just one guy? Because, well, for one reason, it's because he knows that he will get they'll get the ratings, or he'll get the credit and get the notoriety for making those kinds of comments. If he came out and just said, oh, the Caps played like blah, 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 blah last night, he's not as big a deal as saying, oh, Ovechkin played blah, 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 blah. Well, that's going to get more interesting stuff out there, more news. No, he was right about Ovechkin's play last night, but so was the rest of the team. You know, it's not just him. He was not the only guy. Yes, his blind pass across the entire ice last night, that was really bad. It was during the first period. But the rest of the team looked really poor. I mean, they got blown out last night, embarrassed by the Flyers. So the entire team deserves that kind of a rip, you know, not just Ovechkin.
Right. I don't think it solely is on Ovechkin. There are some things that Milbury did bring up that I sort of agree with. The blind pass to no one that Ovechkin had.
That was bad.
His embellishment with getting, you know, a high stick. Yeah, I bet you I've never been hit in the face with a hockey stick, and I'm sure it hurts like hell. But when he did fall to his knees and kind of slid and kept his head in the air and then fell to the ice for that long, I mean, that definitely... That's definitely questionable behavior.
Dude, if that's Crosby, then Milbury's calling him a warrior.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that if that was somebody else doing that, Milbury would have nothing to say. But as a hockey fan, I don't like the fact that Ovechkin played that up as much as he did. I understand. I know that has to hurt. But at the same time, he did embellish that a lot. And I didn't like that, even though it happened and it drew a penalty. I think he went a little overboard with his acting there. That's coming from a Capitals fan. Just I think he went a little too far with that.
Anybody else? Stamkos does that. Anybody else that's from North America, and Milbury keeps his mouth shut. The fact that it was a European player that did that gives Milbury more of an opportunity to set his agenda that the European players are not as good, or they do this poorly, or things he doesn't like. He just gave him an opportunity to continue with Milbury's line of inane logic.
Right. And the other thing that Milbury brought up, and I don't know how I feel about it either, is Ovechkin changing lines during a goal. I don't know what...
That was just bad. I think that was just bad timing.
You know, we that was one of the downfalls. I think it was 2 years ago. Scott Hannon, he had a bad line change, and it resulted in a overtime loss in the playoffs. So these bad line changes are not nothing new to the Capitals. But I think Milbury's saying he's your superstar, he's your captain, and he's doing that. He's taking a line change during a goal, and it doesn't look good. It's giving more fuel to Milbury to just kind of like look everything over and with a microscope with Ovechkin.
Well, yeah, but there's five other guys on the ice that can stop the puck. I mean, if you look at a couple of the goals last night, there are people that I mean, their first goal, no one was paying attention to the Flyers going down there and they're able to score. I mean, there's a ton of bad play last night. So to only pick on Ovechkin, I mean, if you were to pick on everybody, it would be like a 2 hour long show. But the fact is, they all played poorly. The only reason that Ovechkin's getting a lot of the press is because he's Ovechkin.
Right. I completely agree with you. This team, you know, they lose as a team, they die as a team, and they win as a team. It's not just Ovechkin. It's not just one guy. It's not just Holtby. It's a whole team. That first goal against for the Flyers at during the game was not on Holtby. It was because he had no support from the defense. There's no way you can say Ovechkin's the reason why the Flyers got that first goal or anything like that. Ovechkin... Milbury's got to watch the way he says things, okay?
If he doesn't care. He's not going to change it.
He may not care, but it's as a hockey fan who watches hockey as much as I can on TV, I don't like the things that he says. I don't like the fact that he has this attitude against European players, against the Capitals, especially against Ovechkin. I understand he doesn't like the way Ovechkin plays, but shut your mouth. You're an analyst. This is not your personal opinion because of where somebody's from, you know, and if you want to talk about how bad the Capitals are, talk about as many people as you can. Stop singling them out. I understand why they're doing it, but you know, we can get off of this topic now. I understand. I can understand why they're doing it, and Ovechkin's the big name, but it ticks me off that he's going after him like that, and that he's picking on him because he's Ovechkin. That ticks me off because you're not talking about the sport anymore. You're talking about the person.
And that's Milbury style.
Yeah, and I don't like it. I don't like it. But the Flyers game last night, it was not a good performance for these guys. You could tell that they were tired. You could tell that they were phoning it in. And they left Holtby out to dry for a big chunk of that game. And, of course, it resulted in him being pulled. He let 4 goals in on 18 shots. So very different from the Carolina game where he got a shutout.
Holtby last night, I'm not blaming him for every goal, but there were a couple in there that he could have done something about. I mean, there were some soft goals. There were some bad ones that he should have done something about. He wasn't supposed to play, at least I don't think originally he was supposed to play that game. I think Neuberg was going to play, but he was sick. And so the Capitals had to recall Philip Grubauer, who I don't think ever intended on playing as well. But he ended up getting thrown into the game with Holtby's poor performance, and actually thought he did very well for his first NHL game. He started in Philadelphia, which is not easy for anybody to play, and he stopped something like 14 shots and looked really good doing it. So I you know, it's another guy. I'm not suggesting that we go and we throw him out there for a bunch of games and see how he does. I don't think he's ready for that. But I do think that we have another one of these guys coming up through the system, and it's going to keep things interesting for the Caps in regards to their goaltending depth for quite a while.
Yeah, it's always good. It seems like the Capitals have really good luck with young goaltenders. Kind of amazing for Grubauer, too. He went from playing for Reading to Hershey to the NHL and playing for Washington. I think he's the only goalie this season, at least, who's gone from the ECHL to the AHL to the NHL within the span of a few months. So congrats to him on getting his first game and looking pretty good while he's doing it. No one's going to say, you know, take Holtby out and bring in Grubauer or anything like that. Not yet, at least. But he did have a good showing for a young goaltender. And if one of those guys gets sick again, I'm not going to be too worried about him coming, you know, down from Hershey. So I think that he had a great showing, and it's good for the Capitals to have these young netminders just ready to come up whenever we need them.
Well, the thing is, for every young goalie that looks good at first, you have guys that end up not being as good as they did. We have guys in the past for the Capitals, especially like Maxime Ouellette, who we thought was going to be the future after Ole Kolzig. He ended up flaming out. We had Rostislav Stana a couple of years ago, who looked I think his first game in the NHL, he went out and shut out the Detroit Red Wings, and then, you know, he sort of fizzled out. So let's not rush Grubauer just yet. I think the only reason he was playing in Reading to begin with was because of the lockout. He should have been in Hershey all season. But the kids look good. He's looked good. He looked great in Reading. He's looked good in Hershey. You know, he's going to finish out the season in Hershey, provided the Caps don't have any crazy injuries. And then we'll see what happens next year.
All right, so with all this Capitals game news that we've been talking about, it seems like we made the Capitals think a little bit. Normally, news breaks for the Capitals after we record the day that we put this podcast out. Since we got delayed a day, they decided to break some news before we record. Got to thank them for that. They made a big trade today. Yeah, they made a big trade today that we can actually talk about, you know, before the guy actually starts playing. So tell us a little bit about this pickup that we got.
Well, the Caps today acquired via waivers Aaron Volpatti from the Vancouver Canucks. He's listed at 6 feet, 215 pounds. This guy is known as a fourth-line grinder. He's going to go out there, get big hits, and he's got a willingness to drop the gloves. And I was reading some of the fan comments, the Canucks fans' comments about him, and it appears that he's kind of a heart-and-soul type of guy. Sounds like the kind of guy you want on your team. This is not the guy that's going to push them towards a Stanley Cup. This is the kind of guy who is a defensive-minded player who will help to shut down the other team's top line. Now, what I find interesting is that I don't know exactly where he's going to play. I think ideally you'd put him on the fourth line, but there you have Hendricks, Beagle, and Crabbe. So is one of the are one of those guys going to be sitting up in the press box? I don't think you'll see Hendricks and Beagle up there, and I think Crabbe will keep playing. So maybe we'll see something like Hendricks bumped up to the third line, which might bump up Fair to the second line, and it looks like Chimera's probably sticking around. So we may see Wojtek Volski, who has been struggling in the press box for the next game, was it Saturday at 3 or the next couple of games. So, but I like the pickup, especially since you got him off waiver, so he doesn't cost you anything aside from a roster spot and some money out of Leonsis's pocket. Aside from that, I like the pickup of Volpatti.
There's a lot of fans that like him a lot. I know the Green Men, they tweeted out and said that they were going to miss him a lot. I know that Marcus Johansson is more of a center, but is this a sign that he might be on his way out?
I don't think this pickup has anything to do with Marcus Johansson, only because Johansson is an offensive-minded guy. Yes, he can play defense, but he's more of an offensive guy. Like, you expect Johansson to score. This guy's not going to score. Like, if he scores a goal, you're like, oh, good job. Okay, cool. Like, it's only you know, it's like when Erskine scores. You're like, all right, nice, good job. You don't see it very often. Whereas, you know, so I don't think it really affects one or the other. I think I want to know, first of all, what's wrong with Johansson and what's taking him so long to come back. I do think it'll be interesting when Johansson comes back what move they're going to make, because this guy will again have to go on waivers. And my guess is that someone might pick him up if they try to send him down to Hershey. And then if and ever Brooks Light comes back, they're probably going to have to make another roster move. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. But I would fully expect this new guy to be playing on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he works with the other guys, see if they start gelling. It's obvious that this team isn't completely gelled together just yet, so bringing in a new guy I don't think is going to really affect them too much. So it'll be very interesting to see where he lands in the lineup. But what else is going on in Caps world?
Well, recently the Capitals signed two players to extensions, of which you and I discussed earlier. I know you like them both. I only liked one of them. But goaltender Braden Holtby was signed to a new two-year extension. It comes with a cap hit of $1.85 million. I actually really like that deal to keep him around. And I know some people have asked me or talked to me about, what does this mean for Michael Neuwirth? I don't think it necessarily means anything. It could just mean that they got Holtby's deal done first, and it could mean that they're looking to trade Neuwirth. I don't really know yet. I think it's too early in this lockout-shortened season for them to have decided which guy they're going to go forward with. As of right now, it certainly looks like it's Holtby because he's played so many games in a row. Neuwirth was, again, we've said before, Neuwirth was supposed to play last night but was sick and didn't actually make the trip to Philadelphia. The other deal that came up was John Erskine got a new two-year deal. I know you're very excited about this. The thing that bothers me about this, I don't mind the extension. It bothers me that his cap hit is 1.96 and change. That bothers me. I don't think when the cap ceiling is going to be going down as much as it is, I don't think you can be just throwing around almost a $2 million cap hit to a guy who's your third pairing defenseman who, I mean, right now he's sort of playing second pairing because they really don't have that many talented defensemen, unfortunately. But I think it's too much money for a guy who, in this day and age, the NHL is about speed, and that is something Erskine does not have. Yes, he will hit you right in the face if he has to. He's a big guy. He's gotten actually smarter with the times to be aggressive and times to keep his sort of his temper or his you know, his energy down after the whistle. But, you know, I like Erskine. I don't like how much money they've put into his deal.
You know, it is a big chunk of change, definitely, especially for a guy who was in the press box most of last year. You're really seeing him gel well in the Oats system, though. So I think that has a big thing to do with it. And I think because he's a veteran, and he's a veteran in the locker room, and he's really going to be a guy that a lot of young defensemen kind of look up to and kind of teach him when to fight, when not to fight, when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive. Because he got boarded. You know, was it the Flyers game last night? I think he got boarded. And he didn't go after them. You know, he did go and get like a concussion test after the hit, but he didn't go after anybody. He didn't try to fight anybody. So you can definitely tell he's a smart hockey player, and he knows when to drop the mitts and when not to. So I'm very happy that he's still a Capital and he's going to be a Capital for a few more years. Last year, he even said to the press, "I didn't think I was going to be here much longer." But it's good to see him in DC. I know you're not happy about it, but
Wait a minute. I'm not unhappy with Erskine being back. I just don't like how much money they're offering him. I would have much preferred it be somewhere between $1 and $1.25 million, something like that, where it's more of a controlled deal. I think now, let's say, Orlov is healthy at some point in the foreseeable future, and then maybe they bring someone in the offseason. He's now, I think, going to be harder to move because teams may not want to take on that cap hit. So that's one of those things you're going to look at that you may, if somewhere down the line you want to trade him, it might be that much harder because you gave him that much more money than he really is, and this sounds bad, but he's worth in the NHL.
Right. And like you said, I agree with you. The NHL is definitely evolving into a different kind of game, and maybe he doesn't fit in completely with that, but I think he's definitely a veteran feel in that locker room. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why he stuck around and why he got a raise. But I'm happy to see Erskine staying in a Capitals uniform for two more years. Yeah, that price hit is definitely going to affect him, and we'll be talking about that once, trades and everything happens, possibly during the offseason, to see how his new money is going to affect the team. So that's very interesting. Anything else going on in Caps world?
Well, in prospect news, one of their top prospects, Philip Forsberg, was named the top under 20 hockey player in the second tier of hockey in Sweden. Forsberg actually has already signed a 3-year entry level deal with the Capitals, and my guess, he is slated to be with the team next season, I would assume on the second line. Forsberg, this guy has done exceptionally well, and I am very much looking forward to seeing him in DC next season.
It's an amazing guy. I mean, we've been talking about him ever since he got drafted. He's put up some amazing numbers, and that's great news for him. And like you said, when he comes to DC, man, it's going to be a whole different game, whole different team, because he's really going to be one of the centerpieces of this team. Is that it? Is that anything else going on?
That's pretty much it in Caps news right now.
That's pretty much it. You know what that means? It's time to go up 83. Let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, man. So let's hear what's going on with the Hershey Bears.
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 1-1-1, putting them at 25-21-8. That's 58 points, which is good for fourth in the East Division and seventh in the Eastern Conference. I like how they're pretty much staying about 500 the entire way every time we talk, yet they keep jumping from between seventh and eighth in the entire Eastern Conference, which is very interesting. But they're still in the playoff hunt. They're doing well. There's been a lot of moves recently with goalies getting injured. I know Danny Saubrin got injured over at Hershey, so the Hershey had to bring up Brandon Anderson. So Redding actually went out and had signed retired goaltender who used to play for the Bears, Frederick Kasivi. So Kasivi's now playing in Redding. Anderson, I believe, was in Hershey, but now with Grabauer being sent back down, I'm sure Anderson will be sent back to Redding. And then Redding goalie Sergei Kostenko was recalled to Hershey and then loaned out to the Ontario Reign of the ECHL. So we've had a lot of moves going on between Hershey and Reading recently, but I don't think they're that far of a drive, so it shouldn't be too bad for the players. Reading, on the other hand, has gone 2-2 since we last talked, with wins over Kalamazoo and Florida. Reading is currently 36-16-6, putting them at first in the Atlantic Division and on top of the Eastern Conference at 78 points. They are 2 points up on the Cincinnati Cyclones. And yet, even though you still ask me, they have not clinched the playoffs.
Come on!
I don't understand. You think as good as they're doing, they haven't clinched the playoffs, but it looks like a lot of teams in the ECHL, at least in the East, are sort of right in there. So I think they still have to go a couple of more wins before they're able to clinch the playoffs.
Jeez. Man, ECHL.
It's a tight race up there.
Yeah, ECHL, man. They're pretty competitive. That's good to see. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter or anything, but supposedly Dmitry Orlov, who's still in Hershey, kind of nursing an injury, he practiced with the team, and apparently he's in a contact jersey. So it seems like whatever he's got going on, whatever injury, is starting to heal up a little bit.
Well, if Orlov can – I haven't seen that. If Orlov got healthy, that would certainly help the Capitals' chances, but I think you'll see him a couple of games in Hershey if he ever does get to that point where he can play in a real game. It'll be interesting to see if they pull him up, who sort of sits on the bench, or someone else who would have to get sent down. I think it's only a matter of time before Hamrelik is moved out one way or another, whether that's on waivers or traded. I think his trade value right now is pretty much zero because you're not playing him. I think maybe they'll get 6th or 7th round pick out of him if they were to trade him. But at this point, you know, it would be more of a salary dump just for the season. So since he's going to be a free agent afterwards, you really would just be moving him out because you want to bring someone else in. So it'll be interesting to look at, but I certainly think this team could use Orlov in the lineup.
All right, so is that pretty much it for Hershey and Redding? Anything else going on?
Yeah, that's pretty much it going on up in Pennsylvania.
All right, man. Go Bears, go Royals. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, right now, I think the biggest thing everyone is talking about is the proposal for realignment for next season. This new plan would have four divisions, two of which would have eight teams, two would have seven teams. The Capitals are slated to be in the new Atlantic Division. They'd be there with Pittsburgh, Philly, the Rangers, the Islanders, New Jersey, Carolina, and Columbus. So that is certainly a tough division to be in.
Absolutely.
The new Central Division would be Boston, Buffalo, Detroit, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Florida, and Tampa Bay. So just to go over that again, you have all these teams in the North and the two teams in Florida. I'll just let that sink in for a second because to me, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't really like this new deal just because that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I'll get into the other reason in just a moment. In the Midwest would be Chicago, Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, Nashville, St. Louis, and Winnipeg. So yes, Winnipeg would actually be where they're supposed to be, the Midwest, not the Southeast. And the Pacific Division would be Anaheim, Calgary, Edmonton, Los Angeles, Phoenix, San Jose, and Vancouver. Now, the other reason I have a problem with this is that there are constant rumors that Quebec is going to get a team in the future and that Toronto might get a second team. Now, Bill Daly came out and said that they are not going to make realignment changes based on potential things happening. And I agree with that. For the first time in the history of the world, I agree with something Bill Daly said. But it makes me wonder, what would they do if they bring those two teams in? You know, because arguably Quebec and the new team in Toronto would both have to be in the new Central Division. So are you going to move Detroit back into one of the other divisions like the Midwest and Columbus over? You know, now the reason Detroit and Columbus want to move out of the West is because of the travel. You know, you have it, and these teams are both in the Eastern time zone. You'd be having them travel all the way to play Los Angeles as opposed to being able to play teams that are closer. So with this new realignment, yes, it would be easier to move Detroit and Columbus back into somewhere in the Midwest, but it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. This deal is not official, and we don't know when it is necessarily going to be official. Hopefully, within the next couple of weeks, they'll announce, or within the next week even, they could announce what's going on for next season. In other interesting news, this came out, I believe, at the end of last week. Now, in our show last week, we talked about the Winter Classic next season being between Detroit and Toronto, like it was supposed to be this season. Thanks, lockout. Next season, in addition to the Winter Classic, there are reports there could be one or two additional outdoor games to go along with the Heritage Classic, which is the one they have up in Canada. So we could have not only just the Winter Classic and the Heritage Classic, but two more games played outside. That would be pretty interesting. Maybe to some people, they'll think that this is sort of ruining or sort of infringing upon the kind of coolness factor of having that one big cool game outside. But personally, the more cool stuff, the better, just after the NHL screwed us over for, you know, a bunch of months. Brian Burke, who was fired as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs before the season, has been hired as a part-time pro scout by the Anaheim Ducks. Now, he previously worked with this organization as their general manager and even won the Stanley Cup back in 2007 with them. In player movement news, Montreal has sent forward Eric Cole to Dallas for forward Michael Ryder and a third-round pick. LA sent Simone Gagné to Philly for a fourth-round pick, and then Simone Gagné went and scored last night. Nashville has sent forward Brian McGrattan to Calgary for Joe Piscula. And in kind of funny news, and to go back to Mike Milbury, the Islanders have sent overpriced goaltender Rick DiPietro to the minors. I got to think they're going to use one of their amnesty buyouts on him this summer. The reason I bring up Mike Milbury is because Milbury was the GM of the Islanders who traded away Roberto Luongo because he had DiPietro on the team. Nice job, Mike. And the other interesting news, actually breaking news today, is that the Calgary Flames placed an offer sheet on Colorado's restricted free agent holdout Ryan O'Reilly. They offered him a deal that was supposed to be $5 million annually. Well, within the past, while we've been recording, actually, Colorado has announced that they are matching that deal. So it looks like, as of right now, Ryan O'Reilly is a member of the Colorado Avalanche. Huh. In players taking a few forced games off news, San Jose's Ryan Clough has been suspended for two games for leaving the bench on a legal line change to start a fight at the end of a game. You can't do that. There's a new rule they instituted a year or so ago saying that you cannot just purposely start a fight at the end of a hockey game. I feel it was in the last 5 minutes of a game. He did that, so he'll be sitting out for two games. And Edmonton's Taylor Hall was suspended for two games for kneeing Minnesota forward Cal Clutterbuck. Yeah, knee on knees, very bad hit. You potentially can seriously injure people doing that. It was a bad move by Taylor Hall. And injury news, Yevgeny Malkin has been diagnosed with a concussion after going into the boards awkwardly in their game versus Florida from last week. So Malkin may see some serious time out of the Penguins lineup. That is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
I hate hearing about concussions, but I just want to say this. Malkin, I wish him the quickest recovery, but man, it seems like every season he's always got an injury that takes him out for months at a time. So I hope that he comes back and can play, you know, just as well as he's played before after this concussion. But I don't know, is it just me or is he constantly getting hurt?
I mean, it's just, you know, these are people, and sometimes, you know, people are built different ways, and it could just be it potentially is that he puts himself in these positions to get injured. I saw what happened, or at least the situation that resulted in him getting the concussion, and it was just sort of a bad play. I don't think anyone was, you know, trying to hurt one another, but this one's pretty serious. I don't know why the Penguins keep getting their star players injured with concussions, but these things are happening. I'm sure he'll play again, but yeah, this one's pretty bad. But it doesn't seem to affect the Penguins at all, as they're still doing quite well.
Well, good for
unfortunately.
Good for the Penguins. Good for you. All right, so that's pretty much it for the show this week. Of course, I'll let you know what's going on in Caps world until we talk again. They've got two games lined up this Saturday, March 2nd. The Capitals will be in Winnipeg to go against the Jets. It's a 3 p.m. start. It's on Comcast Sportsnet and will be national on the NHL Network. And then next Tuesday, March 5th, they're up against the Boston Bruins right here in the phone booth, and it's at 7 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet. So two games until we talk again. Make sure you follow along with us on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash, and the show has its own Twitter account. It's at WTP_podcast. And Dan, I know you're on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. And recently I've actually started working as a writer for the website CapitalsOutsider.com.
Yeah.
So go check it out. I wrote my first piece the other night called Lacking on the Left. It's about the first two lines and how we don't have a left winger for each one of those lines. So go and check that out. I'm currently coming up with ideas for my second piece. Hope to have it out the beginning of next week. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
Well, before I talk about that, just want to say congratulations, man. I'm glad that you're getting to write a little bit. You get to talk Capitals. You get to write Capitals. That's got to be a pretty cool gig there. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Of course, if you like What the Puck and you want to learn more about it, you can go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you get all the information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network, like The Call, the new show, The Payoff Pitch. And if you're in Baltimore, you can listen to Barry Around Town. That's where we tell you what's going on around Baltimore. It comes out at the end of every week, so it tells you what's going on during the weekends. And you can follow the show What the Puck on Facebook. Like us over there. It's Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in there. WTP Podcast. And you can get all the information you'd want to know about the show and all the other shows that we do around here. Now, whatever way you hear the show, congrats. Thank you so much for listening to the show. There's so many different ways you can listen to us. Check us out on iTunes. Search What the Puck Podcast. Click subscribe. Whenever there's a new show, the show will get downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes or on that podcast app if you have an iPhone. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, no worries. You can listen to us on Stitcher Smart Radio. Download the Stitcher app, look up What the Puck, and you can set us as one of your favorite stations. Whenever a new show pops up, it comes streams straight to your phone, so it doesn't take up any of your phone space. You just stream it over the web, which is pretty cool. And if you're at your desk and you're bored at work, you can listen to us on Podbean, whatthepuckcaps.podbean.com. So there's all different kinds of ways that you can listen to us, and it all comes to you free of charge, free hockey talk, straight to you from us. We're not charging you like the MLB does to listen to their games on the radio, but whatever. We're not going to talk about that. Best way you can help us is to let people know about the show. Make sure you go over to Facebook, to Twitter, to Pinterest, to Tumblr, to Instagram, to Vine, to Reddit. Go to reddit.com/r/ caps and tell people about What the Puck. We post as many places as we can, but we really need you guys to tell everybody else that's a hockey fan about the show and that you enjoy listening to the show. And make sure you write us an iTunes review so iTunes kind of pays attention to us more, because I don't know if you've noticed, but if you type in hockey or puck, we don't show up. You gotta type in What the Puck. So if you guys write us reviews, we show up to a broader audience, and it'll help us grow bigger and bigger. Thank you so much for listening to the show so much. We've actually gotten some really great feed hits and channel visits. We're almost at 5,000 channel visits on our Podbean site. So thank you so much for listening into the show. I think that's pretty much it for What the Puck. Follow me on Twitter at BrandoCash. Follow Dan at WTPCoachDan. And have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Welcome, What the Puckers. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck Podcast. Make sure you're following along with the show on Twitter. That's right. The Twitter has its own Twitter account now at WTP_podcast. And you can follow along with me at Brando Cash. Joining me as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Let's try that one again.
All right, go ahead.
Wait, did you say the Twitter has its own Twitter?
Did I?
I think you might have.
Absolutely. So is that all that's going up on a so is that pretty much what am I saying?
That's pretty much up. Now I'm talking like you.